Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Hey, hey, what's going on? You are listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree. I am the host of the show as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a platform and space of intentional healing, joy, rest, and abundance for Black women. Today's episode, I'm going to be talking about perimenopause, girl. Perimenopause. It's ghetto. It's raggedy. It's disrespectful. It's irritating, like all the things. I want to tell you or share with you some of the things that I have noticed in case either you are entering that phase or you're in that phase and you think that you are going crazy. Spoiler alert, you are not. You are not going crazy. Perimenopause, like I said, is raggedy. Okay. So I'm going to be sharing some things that I have noticed as well as a few things that I have done to kind of help alleviate some of these changes that are happening with the body. So let's go ahead and just get into it, okay? Spoiler alert, there may be some language. I don't know what I'm about to say. I mean, I have a breakdown, but hey, we about to get real with this because I am so over it. So this may be not safe for work. I really can't tell you just yet because I'm just going to let the spirit just move me the way it moves me. So just giving you that heads up, all right? So here we go. All right, so perimenopause. First of all, so I don't know how much of my journey I've shared since I've done so many episodes. I'm sure at least at one point I mentioned that I had super heavy periods. I know that I did. Super heavy periods. And I mean, I'm talking periods that I am soaking pads. I am going to bed with a towel or two underneath, just like underneath my my lower half of my body, obviously, in conjunction with the pads. I was never really a super tampon user. Like, I didn't really use them on most of my like period journey, but I did from time to time. So usually, but my go-to would be the napkins, the sanitary pads. But I can tell you that always was making a lot of money for me because I was doubling up on the, I don't know the names of them, but I can tell you the colors, the orange one, the orange wrapper ones, tons of those. I think those are like the overnights maybe, or supers. I'm not sure, but the orange ones with the wings, honey. And then the purple ones, the ones that feel like you have a diaper on your butt. That was my bestie. That was my homeboy, like, or homegirl. Those purple pads, baby. Let me tell you, those purple pads, they have saved me a time or 10 during my period journey. And ain't no shame. I remember when I was younger, and maybe this is you too. I remember when I was younger, I would be so embarrassed to buy pads or like that kind of thing. Keep in mind that I am technically born in the mid 70s, but I'm like an 80s kid. You know what I mean? So having my periods probably in the late 80s, I'm guessing, or yeah, maybe like late 80s, definitely early 90s, obviously. Just being so embarrassed by the fact that I had periods. Like, I'm just going in there in a trench coat into like the Walgreens or the grocery store and my sunglasses on, a hat tucked over my head. And I mean, I wouldn't do it like that, but I would just be so embarrassed. Now it's just like, you know, it's true. The older you get, the less F's you give, because now or well, I guess not recently, and I'll tell you why, but the later I was, like, my later periods, excuse me, just like going in there, and you know, like if you go to Walgreens or something like that, they'll ask you, do you want a bag? I'm like, hell no. I'm just taking my big pads under my arms, one under each arm. I got some orange ones on the left, some purple ones on the right, and I'm just like real casual with it. I just don't even care. I don't care. I do not care. I just don't care. It's a shame that girls are for one reason or another made to feel like that change that happens in our bodies and the periods and things like that, like that's something to be embarrassed about or ridiculed for or anything along those lines. So if you're a young lady listening to this, and maybe you're not really in your perimenopause era or menopausal era, even still, girl, do not be ashamed, okay? Your body is beautiful. And I'm not saying that what happens every month feels fantastic and spectacular and it's like an extravaganza-worthy celebration. I get it, because at least for me, it was not. But I just, you know, real talk, there is nothing to be ashamed of, about, whatever. It's all normal. No matter what it is you're experiencing, like me with the heavy periods, that was normal, at least for me. I'm not saying that it was necessarily, I don't want to say right or wrong, but I do realize that having a super heavy period means that there's something that needs to at least be explored, you know what I mean? But I think it was just normal for me. And once I found out I had fibroids, it was just like, you know, that it started to make more sense. But anyway, but just this perimenopause era that I'm in, and I honestly feel like I'm getting closer to menopause, and you know, by this time next year, your girl may be there. I don't know. You know, the body is doing what it wants to do. But by the way, perimenopause, you know, when I was younger, or I don't know, I feel like just this education of for women and their bodies, like there needs to be more of it. There needs to be more of it, and normalizing that, you know, our bodies are different and that we're going to go through things at different ages, right? So perimenopause, you know, you could be in your 30s and have these perimenopausal symptoms, okay? That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. Doesn't mean that you're not quote-unquote right. I think the average age to start experiencing this might be like the late 30s, or I think I read maybe like 41, 42, somewhere in there is the average. But that also means that's the average. That means that obviously there's going to be people that have it before 41 or 42 start getting those symptoms. That's okay. Or you might be older than 41, 42 and start getting those symptoms. That's also okay. The average means it's just like kind of like the baseline or the middle of these variations of age. So I am 49. I just turned 49 at the end of August. Hip, hip, hooray. Yay me. Damn near half a century old. I'm starting to feel like a vampire. I don't know. But I am kind of like just now putting two and two together, as of late, realizing that these things that I was going through with my body, that's what it was. The perimenopause, like I was going through, and I didn't really understand that is what was happening. But now looking back, that's exactly what it was. I think a part of it is because I had heavy periods. That's one of the things that you may notice, the super, super heavy periods. But I had that for years, and it was because of fibroids and likely other things. So I just assumed that this was just my regular. But now as I'm putting two and two together, and by the way, I had a well woman exam September, I believe it was, of this year. And we were talking and everything, and I got my pap and I got the blood work and that kind of thing, and everything coming back normal, but just the I think it was a nurse practitioner confirming, yeah, girl, perimenopause, here you are, right? But it's just the heavy periods. I just thought that it was just an extension of what I had always experienced. But when I tell you that those periods were just so disrespectful, and I keep saying were, and that's because I'm no longer having periods like that. I'm not having periods like that. But the heavy periods, they were just so disrespectful. So disrespectful. And, you know, I guess technically I could have been on birth control, but I stopped doing birth control in probably 2000. I'm not sure, but it's been at least maybe like 15 years, or I would say 10 to 15 years since I've been on like a hormonal birth control, because I just didn't want to put my body through that anymore. I just didn't want to go through that anymore. But it was just like kind of like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. You know what I mean? But I just didn't want to do the birth control. So my periods were off the wall and had been that way. Like in the last like 5-10 years, it was just redonkulous. And then before that, it was half of the redonkulousness, but it was still just ridiculous. Okay. But those periods, boy, oh boy, just so heavy. So, so heavy. Thinking that I'm thinking, how much blood must one lose to, like, is there still blood in my body? Like, I don't know. One little hack that I did find, kind of off topic here, but in case this is you, I'm not telling you to do this long term. Definitely speak with your doctor, listen to your body, read up on everything. But one thing that definitely did help for a little while to give me a little bit of relief is taking ibuprofen. And so when it was just to the point where I felt like, I mean, if you've never experienced days and days and days of a super period, you probably wouldn't understand that mental thing that kind of happens when it just every single day you're going through this heavy period and it just feels like it's never going to end. And like your body is just, I can't even explain like where my headspace would be after dealing with this for so long. But even though I'm not one to take a lot of medications and stuff like that, because that's just my personal choice. So I really don't take ibuprofen like that. But when it came to that, every once in a while, if I wanted some relief, I would take some ibuprofen. And so I would take maybe, maybe like 800 milligrams and maybe do that every like 6 hours or so. And that would help me. It would help to slow my periods down for a little while. And again, this is not something that I would do long-term as far as like multiple days. It might be a few days, two or three, if that, maybe two, closer to two. And then I wouldn't do it for a very long time because and again, this is a personal thing. I just do not like taking a lot of medicine. I just don't. I don't care if it's over the counter or whatever. I just do not like to take a lot of over-the-counter medicine. So that's just, again, my personal thing here. But that definitely did help. So if you need some relief, give that a try. But again, just be very careful because there are some serious side effects with taking ibuprofen, something to do with the stomach and possibly ulcers or something along the lines of that. So you have to be very careful with that kind of stuff. But yeah, that definitely helped me when I was at my wit's end. But the periods was perioding. So perimenopause, getting back to it, I would say I've been in that state of perimenopause for probably, gosh, I would say maybe like 3 years, maybe. And the bad thing is that I didn't keep track of my symptoms. And you know, hindsight is obviously 2020. I wish I would have. So now I'm kind of like drawing at straws. But if this sounds like you, start tracking now. Start tracking your periods, which, yeah. Girl, I had just stopped tracking my periods because at a certain point I was like, I don't even care anymore. But do your best to track your periods. Write it down. Write down your symptoms. Are you getting acne? Are you feeling hot flashes? On what day? Is it after eating certain foods? You know, are you like any changes? Are your boobs hurt? Like, are you noticing weight gains or just anything like that? Like, just is the period heavy? Is it light flow? How many pads are you going through? Just putting like a quick little note in your phone on the date. Like a calendar appointment kind of thing. You know what I mean? I think that would be a good help, but I didn't do that. but I wish that I would have, because now I couldn't even tell you when my last period was. And that's unfortunate, because obviously your doctor is going to want to know that. So all I could do was guesstimate when I went into my well woman's appointment. And if I had to put money on it, I would say that my last period was probably, like, my last full period was probably like maybe like 6 months ago, something like that. But I have experienced spotting, like the most minute amount of spotting. Like, I had it this month, started earlier in October, and then that spotting lasted for like maybe 3 days. And again, this was like the smallest, I wish I could describe it, like it was almost non-existent, you know? No pad was necessary, like go to the restroom and wipe and you see it on the tissue. That kind of spotting, and then it was like nothing. So I don't really know what's going on with that. I feel like maybe my ovaries are just like, sis, they have shriveled up like they are in an oven, and my body is squeezing out and excreting out the last remains of any possible period in my body. Like, that's how I feel. So that's why I was saying, or I think I mentioned earlier, that I might be actually hitting menopause, you know, in 6 months. Yeah. So fun times. So things that I noticed in the last whatever, right, that you might be noticing now or experiencing now, that, again, I want you to know this is normal. It's not just you. Okay. Whew. So chin hairs, baby. Chin hairs, just so disrespectful. So I don't know if you know this, but I used to have moles on my face. I had a mole like on my chin. I had a mole on my forehead. I had those removed at a dermatologist office where, it, surprisingly enough, it was not painful. They numbed them, and then literally just like cut them off my face. And I am so thankful for that. The reason that I'm mentioning that is because in my chin hair, that is where when I was younger, in my mole, the one on my chin is where I would find chin hairs. That was it. Just in my mole. And I'm not even sure why that was the case, which is, I don't know. But once perimenopause started kicking in, and or just getting older maybe, these chin hairs, y'all, like, thankfully, they only pop up, like, it'll be, like, maybe, like, three or four of them, or in that three or four areas or whatever, and I'll notice them. And so I keep a set of tweezers handy at all times, because unlike the hair on your head, these damn chin hairs will grow like 5 inches in 3 days. Okay. So I just pluck them out. And again, it's usually maybe like three of them. So maybe once every 2 weeks, I'll notice them, and then I pluck them out and I'm good for like a couple of weeks or something like that. But man, so disrespectful. And like I said, these suckers, they grow fast. So again, thankfully there are only a few, but my God, it's just like, am I turning into a man with this perimenopause? I don't know. So that's the first one that I noticed. The second one, I think I mentioned this, obviously the super, 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 super heavy periods. We talked about that. Super heavy periods. Like, I feel like they made the purple pads for me. Like, they were like, oh, there's a woman out there named Bree, and she really just needs our help. So go ahead and make the thickest, longest, you know, the kind of pads where when you go into the bathroom at a public place and everyone's on their period, and the girls are there and they rip the little pad off and you just hear the little cute little, psh, you know, and then their little pad has been fully pulled off a little plastic thing. And then you have people like me who don't have a little sound, but we're just like, and the whole, like, it takes 10 minutes to unpeel that pad from the wrapper because it's just so damn big. Man, I'm laughing because it's funny to me. I mean, that's just what it is. So, you know, hear my heart. If that's you too, girl, I know what you're feeling. And all I could do is just laugh because it's just insane what my body has done and gone through. So that's another thing. Another thing that I have noticed over the last few years or whatever is just like exhaustion. Your girl is tired mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, cuticly. I'm trying to think of all the things. I don't know. Your girl is tired. It's an exhaustion, one that I have not experienced before in my life. And it's insane because I just feel like I'm always exhausted. If I go to the grocery store, walk around for an hour and come back, I'm tired. If I don't know, if I do whatever, something regular, I'm exhausted. If I do, like anything makes me feel exhausted, any and everything. Like I am just exhausted. And it's great that I've had my well woman, because now I would be thinking like, oh, maybe my iron is low. Maybe, the vitamin D levels ain't leveling. Maybe it's whatever. My numbers all came back normal. Again, granted, I haven't had my mammogram this year yet, or like I have to do a poop test. Yay. 49. It's great. You know, you have to poop in the box or whatever and send the sample. I haven't done that yet, but I have the supplies. I will do it this year. I'm just not looking forward to it. But, like I said, like the pap smear and the blood test and all that stuff, those came back all within level. So that's all good. Your girl's exhausted. Okay. I'm exhausted. Exhausted. For any reason you can think of, I'm exhausted. All right. So I think that's just a part of it. What else? The hot flashes. Oh my God. I'm literally having one right now, I think, even though it is warm today. So I'm gonna take a quick sip of water. But these hot flashes, girl, are disrespectful. Okay. These hot flashes make me want to fight. Okay. All my life I had to fight. That's how I feel. These hot flashes make me want to slap somebody in the face, okay? I went to Arkansas recently, like I had mentioned on the previous podcast, and I knew I had to fly there, and it was two flights one way, two flights another, and I took my little personal fan on the plane, like the one that I have that sits on my desk, and it's small, you know, because I didn't know what it was going to be like on that plane for me, because I can have a flash at any damn time. Anytime I can have a hot flash. And you know, those planes can be, even though they have like the little overhead little nozzle or whatever, it can get hot and stuffy on there. And then you're sitting next to people and just, you know, so I have a little fan just in case. And sure enough, I had to pull it out a couple of times and get that air going, you know. And once the plane levels and the air gets cooler and all that stuff, I was okay. But that initial getting onto the plane, lugging your stuff and waiting 50 million hours for the plane to take off. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the body be getting hot. So I just had my little fan with me. Ain't no shame in my game. And I did not care one way or another what anybody thought about it. So yeah, the hot flashes are intense. People have night sweats. I kind of sort of have that, but not really. I'm not sure if that's, you know, in store with menopause. I have no idea. Knock on plastic, that doesn't happen. But I do be having like the little personal private summers, as they are called, in the South. And like right now, I feel hot. I feel hot and a little sweaty, but yeah. And then also, speaking of exhaustion, my sleep is not as good as it used to be. I used to be the person that could get some good, like G-O-O-D-T, good sleep. I can get it anytime, anywhere, any day, any night, whatever. And I don't have problems falling asleep. I don't. Thank God. I don't have insomnia. Thank God. I don't have problems falling asleep, but I'll be waking up 50 million times. And, so that's disruptive. And, you know, even when I get quote unquote good deep sleep, I still wake up and I'm just like, hell, I am flipping tired. I'm just tired. And so here are some of the things that I am doing. First of all, I have been tracking some things. I have an Oura ring, O-U-R-A, that I wear. I don't want to say 24/7 because sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to have any jewelry on. I'm not a big jewelry person. But for the most part, I wear it 24/7, give or take. Every once in a while, I might take it off for half a day or something. But I wear it 24/7, more or less. And it gives me insight into how my body's doing, how my sleep levels are, activity levels. But really, I just wear it for like the sleep and things like that. And that's been very helpful to kind of see what my rhythms have been. But also, I have an Apple Watch that I wear. I also wear that more or less 24 hours a day. I have two Apple Watches, actually. I have one that I have the Series 8 currently that I wear sometimes for sleep, because that one has the it has the oxygen sensor in it, so I can see kind of like what my levels are. But then currently I upgraded that watch to the Ultra 2, and that's the one that I primarily wear every day in conjunction with my Oura Ring, because again, it tracks sleep, even though in my opinion, the Oura Ring does a better job of that. But I wear the Apple Watch to just kind of also check in with how my body's doing, to check my activity, how long I'm going outside for. It tracks that. Calories and like your vitals, basically. Someone said it's kind of like having a nurse on your wrist. And I kind of agree with that. No, it doesn't take like your blood pressure yet. Maybe in 10, 15, 20 years, it might. I really don't know, but it does a lot. And it helps me just to see what's going on with my body. So I can check in either, you know, physically to see it on the watch or the ring, but also obviously checking in with how I feel goes a very long way as well. So it's kind of like a combined approach to all of this stuff that I'm navigating with this perimenopause, child. So that's the first thing. Also, something else that I do is, obviously, I drink a ton of water. We've talked about that. But these days, I am not going to bed without a big jug of ice water at my bedside, because when I do end up waking up in the middle of the night, I'd be feeling hot sometimes or sweaty or whatever. Taking that sip, gulp, whatever, of ice water goes a very long way. That swig is everything. So if you're waking up at night and you're feeling parched because of this perimenopause business, like, girl, make sure you are taking some water to bed, ice water to bed. Get yourself a Hydro Flask. Let me tell you, I know they have Hydro Flask, they have Stanley, they have Yeti, they have Simple Modern, and Ottawala, whatever, and tons of them. Hydro Flask is my day one homie. I've had a Hydro Flask, those things last for years. My very first Hydro Flask I got probably like at least 10 years ago, probably longer than that. And it still works amazing. But I also have they look like the Stanley cups, but they're the Hydro Flask version. I take that. I fill it up with ice, water. I have one that holds 4 cups of water and one that holds 5 cups of water. And I just fill that sucker up, make sure I have that. That is how I prepare for bed. Simple Modern, those are excellent as well. We have some of those too. I'm a water bottle junkie, okay? But those are really, really good as well. If you're looking for things that are going to keep that ice nice and crisp and cold, you can't go wrong. In my humble opinion, your mileage may vary, but the Hydro Flask and Simple Modern, those you can find on Amazon or probably Target too, those are amazing. But taking my ice water to bed helped change the game. Something else I do is I am moving my body pretty much almost every day. If I'm not getting in the sun every day, it's at least every other day. But walking, minimum 2 miles. But I try to, on average, shoot for 3. Some days I'll do 4 as my minimum. Walking or yoga pretty much every single day. Yoga is helping me to get peace of mind. It's helping me to get clarity. It's helping me to not be so tight and so stiff. But moving my body, working up a sweat, it's helping me with my mood, because you know your mood. I haven't had many mood fluctuations, by the way. I was going to say that. At least I don't think so. I'm not sure. I feel like I'm pretty even keeled, but maybe not. I don't know. But I haven't noticed. I'm just like this raging, you know what I mean? But I'm telling you, if you feel that way, you know, moving your body, sis. You got to move that body. You have to move your body. One thing I didn't mention, though, even though my mood seems to be, you know, whatever, anxiety, definitely to the max on some days. To the max. Like, to the max. So moving my body definitely, definitely helps. And I'm trying to do that every day, though I will allow myself some rest days, okay? CBD. CBD, 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 always CBD. I've talked about CBD a ton, so I'm not going to really go into it too much, but I did a recent episode, maybe 3 or 4 episodes back, talking about CBD, and maybe, what was I talking about? I can't remember. But it's somewhere in there, but CBD, y'all, always CBD. Good for my joints, good for my anxiety, good for just how my body feels and inflammation and things like that. I didn't mention, because the joints, another perimenopausal thing, most likely the joints be just feeling achy. You know what I mean? In my body. So again, CBD, but also I'm taking Vital Proteins. Even though I'm learning that they are owned by Nestle, and that's a little problematic, but since I have a ton of Vital Proteins, I'm going to finish it. But Vital Proteins, a scoop in your coffee, a scoop in my, matcha, you don't even taste it. That helps. And or I also drink bone broth. Again, that's good for the joints and other things. I'm doing my best to reduce my sugar intake. Kind of hard, I'm not going to lie. But I notice huge differences, especially when it comes like hot flashes and stuff like that. That sugar, oh my God, okay? That sugar is basically like lighting a match in your body, inside your intestines. That's basically what it feels like for me, at least. Again, your mileage may vary, but reducing my sugar definitely, definitely helps, as well as, of course, eating better whenever possible. Obviously, like fresh fruits and fish and those kind of things, and just leafy greens and things that are good for your gut health and good for your just everything. So do some digging and see what kind of foods I'm talking about, but I'm doing my best to eat. Just to eat cleaner, because I know that it helps with like the balance of hormones and gut health and all those things. What else am I doing? Last thing I would say, at least for now, is just really doing my intermittent fasting. I know that people may look at me sideways, but I promise you, for me, it really helps, not only for this weight control, because that's another thing I forgot to mention, my bad, y'all, but I've also noticed that. And I didn't put two and two together, but now it makes sense. Like the weight, I mean, I'm getting older, perimenopause, menopause, that estrogen and stuff that helps to control, not weight, but like your hormones and control, like just like your body and your muscle and all those things. Like all of it is just changing. It's all changing. Intermittent fasting is helping me to not only pay attention to the foods I eat and when I eat, because I know there are certain times I should not eat, because it does not work well for my body. But it's helping me to pay attention to what I'm eating and when I'm eating. But those things, yeah, definitely they're helping me to release some of this fat. But also, it's giving me clarity in my mind, and it's helping my moods. And maybe that's why I haven't really noticed, at least as of late, that my moods are like, you know what I mean? But the intermittent fasting, it definitely helps. For me personally, it's not just about the weight that intermittent fasting addresses, you know, it's just overall for my health, it's just really good. So again, the intermittent fasting, watching the sugar as much as possible, eating better, the Vital Proteins and the bone broth, the CBD, and moving my body and drinking all the ice water. And I'm going to be looking into like some other holistic, like supplements and things like that, like Black Cohosh and the primrose oil. I'm going to be looking into those. I haven't had a chance to yet, but I would much rather take a holistic approach versus like looking into hormone therapy, at least not just yet, because I heard there's maybe some benefits, but also some possible side effects that might be harmful. I'm not sure just yet because I haven't had a chance to really dig and dive into it yet, but just wanted to put that out there. But I would much prefer to take a more holistic approach if possible and then reassess down the line. But I have to look into it and give it a shot before I will kind of like move the ball forward. I'm open to whatever is going to help me, but if I can start in a more holistic way, I would prefer to do that first and then, you know what I mean? Tackle it as it comes if I need to look into other things. So that's my story, Morning Glory. This perimenopause girl is no joke, but we are going to get through this. And yeah, I would love to hear from you if you have experienced these things, if you can feel my pain, if your body is also changing, or you're thinking it's kind of like, I might be getting there soon, or you've experienced it, you've gone through it, and you want to give me some words of encouragement. You can always leave a message on Spotify. If you're listening to this podcast on Spotify, you can leave a message on this episode. Or if you want to shoot me an email, you can do that too. It's connect, C-O-N-N-E-C-T, at browngirlselfcare.com. Again, connect at browngirlselfcare.com. So, okay, sis, that is it for this week's episode of the Brown Girl Self Care Podcast. Have an amazing week. Take care of your bodies. Take care of your minds. Make time to rest and take care of yourself the way that you deserve. Take all the pauses that you need unapologetically. And I will see you next Monday on the next episode of the Brown Girl Self Care Podcast.